1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 to 10. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this letter to the Thessalonians, and ask that you will be with me now as I explain this, that you help me to explain it clearly and faithfully, and that your word will be an encouragement to those who hear it, and to those who are listening, that they too can be encouraged from this letter in the way the Thessalonians were encouraged by Paul and Silas and Timothy. In Jesus' name, amen. When you first heard the gospel and put your faith in Jesus as your Lord, the evidence that your life had been changed was quite obvious. It was a huge turning point in your life. Your thinking changed and your motivation for doing things changed. Everything about the way you lived was challenged, and you became aware of the sin in your life and you wanted to change. Perhaps now you've been a Christian for a while. Change isn't so obvious anymore. Maybe your spiritual life has become stagnant. There's very little evidence that you're still being transformed into Christ-likeness. Couldn't that change early on in your Christian life have been caused by your own ability to be disciplined and modify your own behaviour? Maybe you're beginning to doubt that the gospel you put your hope in is able to change your life and that your faith is genuine. When Paul, Silas and Timothy wrote to the church in Thessalonica, they wanted to assure them that their faith was a genuine faith and that God's gospel was at work in their lives. It's estimated the Thessalonian church was only been a few months old, and it was important for them to be assured that their faith was genuine, because as we know from Acts 17, this church, which included both Jews and Greeks, they were young in their faith, and they were facing severe opposition and persecution. We also know what this looked like. Out of jealousy, the Jews who weren't swayed by the gospel that was preached, they stirred up trouble. We know there was a riot in the city, and the city was thrown into turmoil. When Paul, Silas and Timothy write to the Thessalonians, they hold up the evidence of their genuine faith. They began their letter by telling them how and why they continually remember and mention them in their prayers, always thanking God for them and excluding no one. Let's have a look at what they wrote. As we go through the passage, we'll see what evidence is given that shows us the change in their lives was the result of God's gospel, how this assures us their faith is genuine, and how as Christians today we can be assured that our faith is genuine. We're going to look at it under 3 points: the change of the lives in the Thessalonians, the cause, what's caused this change, and the consequence, what happens as a result of this change, and how this is evidence that their faith is genuine. So let's look at the change. We can know the Thessalonians' faith is genuine because there is evidence of change in their lives. Read with me verses 2 to 3. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continue to remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labour prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. What they're continually remembering before God is their work prompted by love, their faith prompted by love, their work produced by faith, their labour prompted by love, and their endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Sharing this with the Thessalonians would have been an encouragement to them. But more than that, it would have assured them that they were genuine Christians. The outward evidence of their faith is their work, labour, and endurance. There's something about why they're working, labouring, and enduring that demonstrates to us that their lives had changed, and this change had been caused by God's gospel. The work of the Thessalonians did not produce their faith. It was because of their faith they did good works. It would have been obvious that these works were done in service of God, and these visible works were evidence of their genuine faith. Likewise, their labour was prompted by love. That is, out of their love for others, they had gone the extra mile for them. The images of them using so much of their energy, they would be fatigued by their labour. It would have come at a personal cost. But this selfless service done for others was done willingly and out of love because God loved them. And they endured, remaining steadfast, not swerving from the hope they had in Jesus. When we remember that these young Christians faced severe opposition for their faith, we know that the fact they endured strongly attests to the authenticity of their faith and the work of God in their lives. And their hope was in our Lord Jesus Christ. God their Father enabled them to live in Jesus, and their behaviour was undeniably connected. Him being their Lord. Christians, be assured you don't need to earn your salvation by doing good works. It is through faith you're saved. We all struggle to endure, to remain steadfast and not doubt when we're faced with challenges in our lives. I have a friend who struggles with severe depression. Her husband is chronically ill, and she also has chronic physical illnesses of her own. She often wants out and to have complete rest from the constant suffering, but she knows God is sovereign. I've seen her persevere and continue to hope, being confident that when Christ returns, all things will be made new, and she will have eternal rest from this hardship. Because of this, I know that she's a Christian, and God is growing her. Christians, we can be confident that when people look at our lives, our work, labour and endurance, that it's a reflection of what we believe, that it shows us we live in Christ and our faith is genuine. Now, by reminding the Thessalonians of their faith, love and hope and holding up the evidence of these Christian attributes in their lives, the writers of this letter assure them their faith is genuine. What comes next directly connects the evidence of their godly character with the reason why they now have these qualities. Brings us to our second point, the cause. The cause and the evidence surrounding the cause of the change in their lives that proves their faith is genuine. Read with me verses 4 to 6. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you. Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. Paul, Silas, and Timothy know the Thessalonians are loved by God, and that God has chosen them. Because he loved them. They've been chosen, tells us that their faith in Jesus comes from God. Their salvation is not something they have achieved. It was given to them by God. So how did they know that God had chosen them? It's there in verse 5. Because of how our gospel came to you, not simply with words. Firstly, by referring to it as our gospel, it doesn't mean that what was preached by Paul and Silas was something different to the good news about Jesus. By referring to it as our gospel, they're including themselves among those who need to hear, receive, and believe this good news for their own salvation. And it's possible they also felt some ownership because they're the ones who had preached it. The writers go on to tell us how the gospel came, not simply with words, but with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. It came with words, it was spoken, it was preached. And it came with power, the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction. The words were able to penetrate into hearts and minds. The work of the Holy Spirit here is connected to the power and the deep conviction. Without God working by the power of his Spirit, the preachers as well as the listeners, the message would not have been able to convict anyone. The godly attributes and the evidence that we saw of these in their lives, that is their faith, love and hope, would have also been impossible without the work of the Spirit. The same Spirit is what gave them joy to welcome the message in spite of their severe suffering there in verse 6. Because of the persecution they faced, it would be unlikely they would be joyful in welcoming this good news. It is God at work in their lives by his Spirit that enables them to receive the message and receive it with joy. Their joy is further evidence they've been chosen by God. Their lives are being transformed by God's gospel work, and their faith is genuine. There's one other part of how the gospel came to the Thessalonians that we shouldn't overlook. And it's there in verses 5 and 6. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. The missionaries modeled Christ to them. Their ministry was public. It could be seen and therefore it could be confirmed. The witness of how they lived contributed to the Thessalonians welcoming the gospel. And it meant that as new Christians, they could imitate this example, learn from it, and then live out the gospel themselves. Their lives had visibly changed because of the gospel they had received. Because of this evidence, we can be confident their faith was genuine. We now know the change in their lives was caused by God's working in them and through the gospel. We can be confident and say with Paul, Silas and Timothy that we know they were loved by God and that he had chosen them because the gospel came to them. So Christian, you are loved by God and he has chosen you. You have his Spirit working in you, enabling you to change. It may not always be obvious to the people around you that the change in our lives is from God. Couldn't it be caused by something else? Say, the 8th habit of being a highly effective person, or the Pilates classes that you've just started taking. These could be legitimate reasons for changing your life. Perhaps you feel, you like to feel like you're in control of your life. And whether change is something you welcome or you hate, you really don't like the idea of not being in control. You believe the gospel, but a big part of you doesn't want it to be something that causes change. You need to let Jesus be your Lord and recognize that you aren't in control. God, your Father, wants you to be transformed into the person he intended you to be. He has given you his Spirit. Won't you let him change your life? And remember, a change isn't always obvious. Like my friend, The reason I know of her hope is because of the way she speaks. It's our attitude, our genuine love and desire to serve that makes what we do different from the non-Christians around us. We've received the gospel, a message that came to us with power, the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction. The change in us is God's gospel at work. Be assured that our faith is genuine. So coming back to our passage, what happened next as a result of the gospel caused change in the lives of the Thessalonians? Like the people who brought the gospel to them, the Thessalonians then became models to others, and their lives testified to the truth of the gospel. And this is our last point, the consequence. Let's look at verses 7 to 10. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves reported what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. The lives of the Thessalonians had changed. This change, we now know, is caused by God's gospel work, which they had received. And this led them to become a model to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. And this is an imitation that's only on the surface. They didn't merely mimic the example shown them. There's something more powerful at work. The Greek word here that we translate as model or example is typos. And this resonates with me because I'm a printmaker and I love letterpress. Letterpress involves setting individual letters of movable type into words and then into sentences, which you then print from. The printed image is a physical impression of the original object. It's tactile, and it shows the identifying and unique marks that were on the original letters. The change in the Thessalonians had the identifying and unique marks of being from Christ. That's what they're now modelling to the believers. Their tangible and visible transformation into Christ-likeness is a witness of the gospel to those around them. But the Thessalonians didn't just become witnesses by the way they now lived. Their message of the gospel also rang out from them. Reports about their faith spread, not only to the surrounding provinces, but everywhere. There in verse 8, we're told that they don't need to say anything about it. And in verse 9, that this is because people report what kind of reception the Thessalonians gave Paul and Silas, and how they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. People everywhere are talking about the change that has happened because they received the gospel. We know from Acts the events surrounding their conversion were dramatic. So while I say everywhere, it could be an exaggeration, it's not surprising reports about what's happened are widely spread. What's more remarkable is that it's the gospel itself and their faith that's being spoken about. We saw in verse 8, the Lord's message rang out. That is, the good news went out from them in a way that wasn't fleeting or momentary. It was like an echo. The message reverberated. It travelled a great distance. In verses 9 and 10, we also know the reports tell how they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. They turned, served, and waited. These are three more evidences that their faith was genuine. Not only did they turn away from worshipping lifeless and false gods, they turned to serve God. Anyone can stop worshipping an idol and replace it with another false idol. The Thessalonians turned their entire lives away from worshipping idols to live with God as their master and with Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. And they waited. Because they received the good news that was preached to them, they know that Jesus, by his death and resurrection, had already rescued them from the sinful lives they used to live. Now they wait, knowing that when Jesus returns and God's righteous judgment is poured out, they will be rescued by Jesus Christ, in whom they put their hope. They turned, served, and waited, and this is further evidence of their genuine faith. In these verses, it's the reports about their faith that tell of the transformation in their lives and has been caused by the gospel they received. Through these reports, we have the evidence that their faith is genuine. You might have a leadership role at church. Perhaps you lead a small group or children's ministry, or people just look up to you as an example of a faithful and mature Christian. You know you're meant to be a model of Christ to the people around you, but you feel unworthy to be such an example. Sometimes how you speak about people at church reflects the frustration and bitterness you feel when attendance is low, filling rosters is hard work, or there's little evidence of God at work in the life of the person you've been reading the Bible with and praying for. Although you know God's gospel is powerful, perhaps deep down you're not convinced the gospel has the power to change lives anymore. You need to remember that God's plans don't always match up with what we plan. That you are serving God and your ministry should reflect your desire to see God glorified through his work in his people. Don't be discouraged. It's God's work that produces genuine faith and it's made visible through the changes in people's lives. Be confident that it is God's power and spirit that enables the gospel to go out, for people to hear it, receive it, and be changed by it. Christians, be assured that just as in the lives of the Thessalonians, the change in your life that's caused by God's gospel work is evidence that your faith is genuine. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can be sure, have this assurance that our faith is a genuine faith. We thank you that you have loved us, that you do love us, that you have chosen us, that you have enabled us to hear your word and to receive it and to believe it and to come to know you and to live lives that are worthy of our salvation. We ask that you will continue to encourage us and build us up, continue to help us be assured that our faith, hope and love are real, and that the things that we do, our work, our labour and our endurance, our perseverance, are all things which are outworkings of the work we're doing in us. Please help us to always have hope in Jesus and in his return and for the eternal life that we are now a part of. In Jesus' name, amen.